Thank you, musicians. The good thing about wearing a mask is no one can tell you if you hit that high note or not, and you don't have to sing that song for another year, so it's all good. Thank you, Daniela, for picking the highest Christmas carol we could ever sing. I'm not sure if you take notice of the Macquarie Dictionary's Word of the Year when they bring it out about November, December here in Australia. Because culture, because our society is ever-changing, so too does our language. It's one of the reasons why we have so many Bible translations, just because society, culture, language changes. So we have new words that enter our vocab. You would have come across some of these words, or maybe you've heard some of them. Robo-debt, that's a new word that's entered recently. Rona, ISO has become an official word apparently. I'm a clean skin. Anyone know what a clean skin is? I've got no tats. That means I'm a clean skin. There you go. Isn't that good? Deep fake, fake news, single use, me too. That's become part of our vocab. If you're a sports fan, you'd know about HIA and VAR. You can go to work for a standing desk as opposed to a desk that's falling over and crumbling, I suppose. Or if you're not at work, you can do some binge watching. And if you need a bit of money, you can do some crowdfunding in your onesie. All these new words sort of enter our vocab. Well, this year we've had a few choice of words, or a few new words have entered the dictionary. Here on the screen are those words, or some of them at least. Menti B, that is a mental breakdown because of COVID. Delta, that's got nothing to do with a famous Australian singer, by the way. Last chance tourism, I think that refers to Western Australia because you'll never get there ever again. Porch pirate is a new word. That's people who steal packages from your online deliveries from your porch. It's become a word. But the word that was chosen for the word of the year is this one, stroll out. Stroll out. That is the perceived lack of speed or slowness when it comes to Australia's vaccine rollout. So we have stroll out. But at one level, I think it's a little unfair to blame our leaders for that because until the Delta variant really came along to Australia, most Aussies didn't really care about COVID or vaccines. Certainly in Canberra, we were looking at the rest of the world and Victoria thinking, what's COVID? We had no idea. But there you go. That's the word of the year, stroll out. But there's another word that could well be the word of the year this year, last year, next year, and for years to come. And that's this word, cancelled. Cancelled. See, we live in a cancel culture. Think of all the things that have been cancelled in your life and my life this year. Your holidays have been cancelled. Working out at the gym, visiting grandma and grandpa, music and film festivals have been cancelled. If you're a sports fan like I am, netball, Australia versus England was cancelled. Cricket, Australia versus Afghanistan, the French submarines, they were cancelled. Then we've also got Floriade here in Canberra, 2 years in a row. The Nottingham Goose Fair, that was cancelled. I know you all wanted to do that. And Tim Payne's cricket gloves were cancelled for good reason. Then, of course, there's been lots of famous people that have been cancelled. Mrs. Harry Potter's been cancelled. Piers Morgan has been, perhaps because he's got a name of Piers. Who names their child Piers? Sorry if you're a Piers here today. Dr. Seuss has been cancelled. Dumbo. All these things. Fawlty Towers has been cancelled. On and on it goes. Cancelling people. Cancelling ideas. Cancelling products. Cancelling songs. Cancelling films. That is, removing support or boycotting businesses because various members of our media culture find them questionable and unacceptable by their ever-changing, shifting standards. And so they're ostracised, demonised, rejected, cancelled. Sadly, no one thinks to cancel the media that promotes the cancel culture. Cancel culture seems to be the new norm, assuming the word norm is still a word that we can still use. Tragically, when you think about it, tragically, gone are the days of free speech or even free thinking. About 20 years ago, some of you might be old enough to remember, there was a movie starring Tom Cruise. I don't think he's been cancelled yet, but he starred in this movie called The Minority Report, where thought crime was actually a real crime. 20 years later, after making that movie, thought crime? Is that a real crime? What I call unsocial media that is Insta-twit and Bookface and all that sort of thing. I do not think it helps us one single bit as a society. I know you can probably argue there's some good things that come from it, but really. And in many ways, the cancel culture we live in is simply a reflection of Western society being so far removed now from our Christian heritage. For no longer do we know what forgiveness and mercy is, let alone do we offer this to people who make mistakes, who do the wrong thing. Instead, we get the knives out and we cancel them. Probably the problem will become very soon, I think, where every politician, every sports star, every movie star, every business person would have said something or done something inappropriate or done something totally wrong as a teenager or at university, and it's on their Facebook page or Twitter feed forever, almost. And there's never to be any forgiveness, just cancelling. We just shut down people rather than forgive them. And we get time and time again examples of that, whether it's a politician when they were 18, they did something, we find out about it. They can never, of course, change their mind. They can never, of course, repent and turn away and say they did something wrong. Former US President Barack Obama had it right when he said, if all you're doing is casting stones, we're never going to get really far. Someone has said, cancelling people you don't like or disagree with is not healthy. Erasing history is like removing the best teacher of your life. Tension is high, tolerance is low, so just cancel someone. Well, why on earth am I talking about the cancel culture on Christmas Day 2021? Last year, some of you might remember, the New South Wales Premier tried to cancel Christmas. Now New South Wales has a different premier. Read into that whatever you want. As we celebrate Christmas 2021 after probably an exhausting year for you, as we do that, do you realise that God himself, the creator of this universe, is a big fan of the cancel culture that we're embracing? In fact, Christmas time reminds us of the word cancelled. Remember the Bible reading that Evan just gave us? There's a verse in there, Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, we read, Mary will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. See, here in the Christmas story, this very day is the heart of this of God's cancel culture that he offers to every one of us here in this building today. The New Testament story, which is worth reading sometime if you've never have in the Bible, tells us that, of course, Jesus didn't stay as a baby, and we sang Daniela led us in a song this morning where we went through the Bible story of Jesus from birth to his resurrection. The Bible, of course, Jesus doesn't stay as a baby, but grew up to be a preacher man walking the dusty streets of first century Palestine, and wherever he went in the first century, he had to deal with the cancel culture of his day. For there are plenty of people in Jesus' day who were cancelled or ostracised or boycotted or cast aside, sometimes for just simply being born. So here's an example on the screen of some of the people who were cancelled in Jesus' day. If you were a Samaritan, you're actually cancelled if you're in the land of Israel. Roman soldiers, the occupying force, of course, they were ostracised. No one liked them. They were demonised. Gentiles were called Gentile dogs even, that is non-Jewish people. Tax collectors, they were cancelled, much the same today. People with disabilities, the blind, the lame, the deaf, the mute, they were ostracised. Those with leprosy, they were certainly cast aside. But the vast majority of women in the first century, especially if you were caught in sexual sin, and even children were to be seen and not heard. And what does Jesus do into this context? Well, he comes along and he actually touches the outcast. He touches the untouchable. He invites in the misfits. He welcomes those who were rejected. He lifts up a little child in the midst of a huge crowd and says, you guys have to become like a little child to follow me. He eats with tax collectors. At one point in the Jesus story, he even embraces his own traitor. And the scandal of it all, he drinks water from the bucket of a Samaritan woman. Do you feel the scandal there? See, those cancelled, those rejected in first century Palestine were connected. They were actually embraced by Jesus of Nazareth. He was, after all, called the friend of sinners. He was the God-man who offers 70 times 7 forgiveness. You can read about it in one of the four Gospels. God himself, Jesus, God in the flesh, is a big fan of the cancel culture. For Christmas reminds us of the word cancelled. For Jesus is born to welcome those who've been cancelled. But he does more, so much more. Jesus dies and he rises back to new life, back to life again, and you can read about that in the historical documents we call Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Have a read sometime. There we see that in his death and resurrection, the word cancelled is actually everywhere in this story. And perhaps there's no better reminder of this than a letter written to an early church, a church just like us back in the first century, and in a place called Colossae in modern-day Turkey, where we read this line on the screen. For Jesus forgave all our sins, he cancelled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. See, the entire Bible tells us over and over again, much like Leslie's kids' talk this morning, tells us over and over again, you and I have a problem of the human heart. It's called sin. It's called rebellion against God, our Creator. The Bible puts it very simply like this. We've all sinned and fall short of God's standard or God's glory. We've all sinned and fall short of God's standard, his glory. But of course, we don't need the Bible to tell us that. You just need to watch the news. When our children, we've got three daughters, Leslie and I, when our children were growing up, we never watched the news when they were around at the time. We thought the news was probably worse than an R-rated movie. Have you ever stopped as you watch the news, whether on your phone or on the telly, have you ever thought, what is the daily news report? Have you ever examined them? When the media isn't telling us about the number of COVID cases, which is basically becoming irrelevant now, when they're not telling us what our state dictators are up to when they're building their Berlin walls, and when they're not telling us how hopeless the POMs are for the Boxing Day test, what is it that makes up the news? I'll tell you. It's basically sin and rebellion 101. Here's a war to report on. Here's another terrorist attack, sadly, that's happened. Here's a murder in downtown Sydney. Here's a rape on uni campuses. Here's a drug bust that's happening. Here's a shooting. Here's a road rage incident. Here's a shopping trolley rage incident that's happening on Boxing Day. It'll be the same footage as we showed in the last few years. Here's another Canterbury Bankstown footy player abusing women. Sorry, Chris Davis. Here's another fire that's deliberately started in the middle of a hot summer in Australia. Here's a child that's kidnapped. Here's another riot on the streets of Melbourne. Here's another domestic violence tragedy. Here's another ocean polluted. Here's another animal butchered. Here's another internet scam. Here's another lie told by a politician. On and on it goes. We don't need the Bible to tell us that we're all sinful, that we're all messed up. We don't even need the news to tell us that. You just got to look at yourself in a mirror. And it's helpful to have one of those special mirrors that you can see in your heart, or you can see your mind, you can hear the words that come out of your mouth, or your actions, or even your thoughts. The heart of the problem is the problem of the human heart. And if we're honest, as you sit here today on Christmas morning, if you're honest, we all deserve to be cancelled by God, our Creator. We all deserve to be judged and found guilty, every one of us, of our sin and rebellion, even if it's in little ways. We're not just porch pirates. We're actual pirates who actually sail away from God and his ways, and we put up our own flag of independence from God and we chart our own course. Every single one of us does that, no matter what our age. But then Christmas comes along and we're actually told a different story. For Jesus forgives all our sins. That's the reason he's born. Growing up, he forgives all our sins. He cancelled the record of the charges against us and takes it away by nailing it to the cross. The New Testament tells us that over and over again. Many parts of the Old Testament, the first part of the Bible, will tell us the same thing. God will blot out your transgressions, which is another fancy way to say your sin and rebellion. God will blot out your transgressions, and he remembers our sins no more. Let Christmas 2021 remind you of the word cancelled. For Jesus does not cancel us, but he cancels our sin. Where we all deserve to be cancelled, every one of us, he cancels our guilt. Where we all deserve to be cast aside, he cancels our condemnation. He cancels our shame. He cancels our debt, the record of the charges against us. And through his mighty resurrection, the Bible tells us Jesus cancels the power of death. And the grave loses its sting for those found trusting in the Lord Jesus. For those trusting themselves to Jesus, this Christmas story, we actually learn that Jesus does not cancel us. He will never cancel us. He forgives us. The Old Testament calls it the year of Jubilee. That is, debts forgiven, slaves set free, a fresh start for all. The New Testament says it's the day of salvation. Sin debts forgiven, slaves to sin set free, a fresh start to all who repent, who turn away from their sin and rebellion and believe. Let this Bible verse on the screen, it's a great Christmas Bible verse, let it remind you of Christmas 2021 and the word cancelled. For God doesn't cancel us, but he cancels our sin. And he cancels the very thing that stands in the way of us relating to him, of coming to enjoy his presence and to know him as our God and as our Saviour. Perhaps the Australian brothers who sing in the band King and Country put it best in this Christmas lyric on the screen. Hallelujah, we can sing it. Hallelujah, heaven's ringing. Endless hope and relentless joy started with a baby boy. When the dictionary gives us another word of the year, when COVID-22 comes around, because we still haven't had that one yet, when you just feel overwhelmed by another disaster story, whether it's on the screen, on the news, or in your own life, will you remember that Jesus has been cancelled for you so you don't have to be? Will you remember this baby boy who grows up to be crucified in your place and mine for your sins, so that we actually don't have to have this word cancelled written over us? Instead, we now have the words forgiven, loved, and welcomed, all because of this baby boy who dies in your place and who rises to bring us that cancelling power. Merry Christmas, everyone. We're going to sing a song that's very appropriate in light of the very fact that if you've embraced this cancelling message, you have joy that the world can never take away.